70 years ago today, 12 million people were displaced by the partition of British India into two separate states, India and Pakistan. The change led to the deaths of up to 2 million people, and political tensions still exist there today. But what has the partition, along religious lines, done for the people of Pakistan, Bangladesh and India? Taiz Okeyutsi investigates.
Yesterday, the 14th of August, marked the 70th anniversary of India and Pakistan's partition. In 1947, in what was then British India, feelings of Hindu and Muslim nationalism came to a head with the creation of two independent states. During the creation of India and Pakistan, up to 14 million Muslims and Hindus were displaced, caught in between the redrawing of the subcontinent's borders. In the time following the partition, it's estimated between 200,000 and 2 million people were killed as they crossed into the newly formed countries. Devlina Ghosh is an associate professor of social and political sciences at the University of Technology, Sydney. She says this violence was due to a divisive British colonial policy.
One of the ways they ruled the subcontinent was a policy called divide and rule, which was basically a political strategy to set communities against each other. And since the Hindus and the Muslims were the largest communities and the Muslims had been, the Mughals who had been rulers of India before the British came, it was easy to set Muslims and Hindus against each other and to also promote the view that Muslims and Hindus could not live together and that they needed to have separate homelands. Otherwise, one community or the other would be discriminated against or oppressed.
When the states were created and the borderlines drawn up, 14 million Muslims and Hindus, as well as other religious minorities, embarked on journeys where they would witness horrific violence.
Most families who lived in the border areas experienced some level of violence. Often women experienced sexual and terminal violence. And I would say that during that time, there was probably not one family who was untouched by the displacement and the accompanying violence that was there. It was a very, very traumatic time for the people who lived in the subcontinent.
Rachel Cliff is an Indian Australian, and as a child growing up in Calcutta, she witnessed the violence caused by the partition of British India.
I just saw a lot of people on the streets, and my parents would tell me that it was not worth it. I was not to watch anymore because we had a very big balcony, and I used to go out there to watch them demonstrating in the streets, and there used to be a lot of violence between the two. And then you'd hear the stories of, you know, this one being bashed because he was Muslim, and the other, and then the Muslims bashing the Hindus because, you know, for retaliation. But as a kid, you never really saw very much except the streets being full of people demonstrating or fighting, and that was it.
Rachel was only 10 at the time and remembers that she didn't understand what was going on in her city.
It was pretty gruesome and also a bit scary for a child. And I think that's the reason also, one of the reasons why my parents decided to send me away to boarding school. So I went up to the mountains to boarding school.
Devlina Ghosh says the legacy of British partition is still one of division. It's led to political tensions on the subcontinent that we still see presently.
The problem is that for each of these countries, the narrative that validates their origin story involves demonizing the other countries and involves, you know, treating the other country as something that needs to be resisted and is always the other. So that means that in the history of the subcontinent, certainly at the political level, there is very little will to promote any form of reconciliation.
But as Indians celebrate their independence today, there is still hope for the people of India, Pakistan and Bangladesh.
There may be much more willingness at people-to-people level, and this has been shown on lots of occasions that ordinary people are much more willing to really consider the idea of reconciliation. But the politics of the subcontinent means that this is very far away still.
Associate Professor Devlina Ghosh from the University of Technology, Sydney, ending that report by Taiz Okeyutsi.